I want to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to this week's virtual drasha. And for this drasha, I'd like to do something different. I think something that I've never done before in my career in the Rabbanus, which is to share with you a few insights and words on Parshas Vezos HaBracha. Vezos HaBracha, the final parsha in the Torah, I often feel kind of gets swallowed up in the midst of the Yom Tov of Sukkis and Simchas Torah. There's so much incredible excitement, so much beauty, for so much holiness of these days. Vezos HaBracha, of course, never really gets a Shabbos of its own. It might get a Shabbos Mincha, but it's subsumed, it's consumed by the Yom Tov of Simchas Torah. But yet, this parsha represents the close of the Torah. This parsha represents the parting message of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. So it behooves us to spend a few moments delving a bit deeper into this magnificent parsha. What I want to draw your attention to is literally the last pasuk in the Torah. The last pasuk in Parshas Vezos HaBracha. So to give a little bit of background, Moshe Rabbeinu dies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to ascend to Har Nevo. And it is there that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go ahead and look upon the entirety of Eretz Yisrael without, of course, ever having the privilege of entering in. But at least Moshe Rabbeinu has the ability to see the entirety of the land. He leaves this world knowing that his mission has been accomplished. His job was to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, transform them from a slave nation into a nation of warriors, a nation of free people, a nation capable of taking the reins of destiny, and Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished that. So in those final moments of his life in this world, he looks upon the land that they are going to enter in to, knowing that he has prepared them for the journey ahead. And so the Torah, of course, says, "V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kimoshe, asher yidah Hashem panim upon him." There was never another navi, never another prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, who knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was able to speak dialogue with God face to face. But the pasuk, final pasuk in the Torah says, "Ulechol hayada chazaka, ulechol hamora hagadol." So literally, "and the great strong hand, the great mora hagadol, the great display of reverence and awe, asher asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael," that Moshe Rabbeinu performed in full sight, in plain sight, in front of the eyes of all of the Jewish people. And the pasuk itself is strange. So the Torah is telling us, this is almost like the eulogy of Moshe Rabbeinu. L'chol hayada chazaka, Moshe Rabbeinu did these things with a great strong hand, mora hagadol, awesome reverence. All these things Moshe Rabbeinu did in plain sight of the Jewish people. And the question is obvious. What are we referring to over here? In other words, what exactly is the pasuk talking about? What is this Yad HaChazaka? What is this strong hand of Moshe? What is this Mora HaGadol, this great and awesome reverence? What are these things that the Torah is referring to that Moshe Rabbeinu performed in front of the entire Jewish people? So the commentaries go in many different directions. The Ibn Ezra actually explains that this is a reference to the miracles by the Yam Suf, by the splitting of the sea. That out of all the miracles that occurred during Moshe Rabbeinu's 40-year tenure in the desert, 40-year tenure as leader of the Jewish people, the miracles that occurred by Yam Suf, the miracles that occurred by the splitting of the sea, were the most dramatic. Both the repelling of the Egyptians before we crossed into the sea, the willingness of the Jewish people to enter into the sea, the splitting of the sea, the many miracles that the Medrash relates that occurred at the sea, the coming down of the waters on the Egyptians, the decimation of the Egyptian army. The Torah, in its eulogy of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Ibn Ezra, makes reference to those miracles of the sea. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's crown jewel accomplishment. But Rashi says something different. Rashi says, "L'chol hayada chazaka." What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, he demonstrated a strong hand to Klal Yisrael? "Shekibal asa Torah b'luchos b'yadav." It's a reference to Sinaitic revelation, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and he ultimately again came down with the Luchos. The Yad HaChazaka, the strong hand of Moshe Rabbeinu, which held and cradled the tablets as he descended from the mountain to the Jewish people. And says Rashi, "Le'enei kol Yisrael." What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated this strong hand in front of the eyes, right, in full vision of the Jewish people? What does that mean? Shenosu libo lishpor haluchos le'enehem. That's a reference to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos in plain sight. Ve'enei kol Yisrael, in front of all the entire Jewish people saw, Moshe came down with the luchos, he smashed the luchos, ve'eskima das HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledaito, and the Ribbono Shel Olam agreed with Moshe's decisions to smash the luchos. And we know the story. Moshe comes down after being on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. As the Pasuk says, Lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shasisi, I didn't eat, I didn't drink. Moshe Rabbeinu was more angel than man over the course of those days. He comes down with the tablets, and what does he see? The Jewish people have built a golden calf. They've built a golden calf. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and he smashes the tablets. He throws the tablets down or drops the tablets. They smash, and of course that sparks a whole process. Right? So there's tshuva. First is begging for forgiveness, there's tshuva, there's Moshe Rabbeinu going back up, coming back down with a second set of luchos. That entire series of events, as we've spoken about, culminates on Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the second set of luchos on Yom Kippur, representing forgiveness for Klal Yisrael. And it struck me, and I don't know why it never struck me before. This is the last piece of information that the Torah conveys about Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Kiviyachol, this is the Ribbono Shel Olam, God Himself, is giving a hesped. He's delivering a eulogy for Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the eulogy? What's the end of the eulogy? The take-home point? And Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos. Wow. That's it. That's what you want, Klal Yisrael. I'm the reader. I'm learning Chumash. I'm finishing Parashas Vezos HaBracha. So Ribbono Shel Olam, the last thing you want me to walk away with is that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos? Again, if I was writing the eulogy for Moshe Rabbeinu, I would not have ended it this way. I would have included many other. There are so many dramatic aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu's life that Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to face down a tyrannical Pharaoh. Don't be afraid. When God is on your side, you can accomplish great things. Moshe Rabbeinu was selfless in his dedication and leadership of the Jewish people to his own personal detriment. Moshe Rabbeinu gave up the trappings of normative family life, of normal living, in order to be the leader of the Jewish people. Is that not a great accomplishment? Is that not the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu? But no. The Torah Kedosha, when it delivers the final eulogy of Moshe, wants to say, Le'enei kol Yisrael, the Yad HaChazaka, the strong hand that Moshe Rabbeinu displayed in front of the Jewish people, he broke the luchos. What's the pshat? Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says something so beautiful. The Rebbe writes, and I quote to you, he says, Aval al yidei ha-shvira hi ikra tikun. Sometimes it's only through breaking something that you truly fix it, that you truly perfect it. Sheze ba'atzmo b'chinas shivrei luchos. Sha'af al-pi shenishtabru, af al-pi kein al-yadam ikr hatikun. Such a cryptic statement, that sometimes ayide ha-shvira, sometimes it's through breaking something that you really fix it. And perhaps what the Rebbe is teaching us is an incredibly profound idea. You see, if we go back a little bit and we take a look at that story. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the luchos from Har Sinai and he sees what's happened. So you know, the Gemara, when it describes the sin of the golden calf, the Gemara, this is in Maseches Shabbos, Daf, Pechesamad Beis, 88b, the Gemara says, Aluva kalosh zinsa besochu pasa. Do you know what the sin of the golden calf was like? The sin of the golden calf, was like a bride who committed adultery underneath her chuppah. Adultery is always terrible. But in those first moments when a couple is forging their marital bond, forging their marital relationship, and the bride goes ahead and engages in an intimate relationship with another man as an ultimate trespass, a horrific trespass, a terrible betrayal. The Gemara compares the sin of the golden calf to a bride committing adultery underneath the chuppah. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain. He comes down from the mountain and he sees what has happened. So I think a lot of times when we think about what Moshe Rabbeinu did, when he went ahead and broke the luchos, he broke the tablets, I think sometimes we erroneously attribute his actions to anger. Moshe Rabbeinu was so incensed. He was so upset. He was so angry, not his own personal anger, like a religious anger, a pious anger, an anger on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you do this? How can you do this? God gave you everything. He took you out of Egypt. He redeemed you all to bring you to this moment. You just said Naaseh V'Nishma not so long ago. You just declared your allegiance and fidelity to God, and now you're doing this. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is so upset, so angered, not because he's offended, but he's angered on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribon HaShe'olam's covet. So he throws down the luchos, almost like, again, in a fit of religious rage, religious anger, justifiable religious anger. But that's not what's happening over here. See, there was something much deeper that was occurring. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that there was a need now to start over. It's clear from the fact that you, Klal Yisrael, built a golden calf, it means that the spiritual edifice, the national edifice, the personalistic structure, national structures that we've built up until this point in time, are clearly deficient. Whatever we've done to prepare for Sinaitic revelation obviously was lacking. There was something wrong, because at the end of the day, if we could do this, it's not just that the chet ha'egel, the sin of the golden calf, was just a mistake. You know what? We slipped. It was such a fundamental betrayal that it showed Moshe Rabbeinu that the foundation upon which everything was built was fundamentally broken. You know, if you build a home and the home has a faulty foundation, can you imagine you come home one day and you see that your home is tilting? Okay, see, obviously it must be the foundation, but see, you know what? Building the foundation is such an incredible avodah. Rebuilding the foundation is such an incredible avodah. You know what? I'm just going to put up new window dressings. The house will make it look a little bit nicer. You won't notice the tilt. You won't notice the tilt. Put up the new window dressings, look beautiful. Then the next day, the house is tilting a little bit more. I say, you know what? I can't deal with the foundation. I'm going to redo the kitchen. So Givaldik, you make a beautiful new kitchen, everything you want, the greatest appliances, the granite countertops, it's kosher for Pesach, fantastic, beautiful. But at a certain point in time, the house is going to collapse. And at a certain point in time, if you want the house to survive, you're going to have to demolish that which you've built, and you're going to have to rebuild it again. Because when the foundation is rickety, when the foundation is unsolid, when the foundation cannot support the structure, you could put some lipstick on the structure. You could put up new curtains. You could put up a new kitchen. But you're not addressing the issue. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that when he came down from Har Sinai and his beloved flock built the golden calf, the foundation is broken. And if the foundation is broken, then at the end of the day, we have to start over. You know, the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara highlights that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't actually throw down the luchos, but he let go of the luchos. You know, the lashon of the Gemara is the luchos, the tablets, became too heavy. But I think what Chazal is telling us is he didn't throw it down. You know, when you think about throwing it sounds like that fit of rage. The Gemara says, kind of let it go. He released it. He was holding it. He let it go. The luchos fell to the ground and they smashed. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't break the luchos in a fit of religious or pious rage. He lets the luchos go because he realizes we need to start again. Because the structure, the national structure that we built, is obviously so flawed that it allows for the sin of a golden calf. And if that's the foundation we have, the only choice we have is to raise everything and to begin to build anew. That was the power of the breaking of the luchos. You know, Shlomo HaMelech writes in Koheles, he says, Eis livnos ve'eis lifros. There's a time to build and there's a time to demolish. Similarly, he says, Eis lata'as, there's a time to plant, ve'eis la'akar natua. So it's interesting, because in that second one, you would have thought, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Eis latas, there's a time to plant, ve'eis liktzor, and there's a time to go out and harvest. That's the textual symmetry. But it's not Shlomo Melech says. He says, Eis latas, there's a time to plant, ve'eis la'akor natua, there's a time to uproot that which you have planted. What's the pshat? Shlomo Melech was saying something amazing, that sometimes in life you plant something, and you realize you planted the wrong thing. So what do you do when you plant the wrong thing in life? You have to find the courage to dig it back up, uproot that which you have planted, and start again. And that is courage. So Shlomo Melech doesn't need to say sometimes you plant, sometimes you harvest. Obviously, if you plant, you're going to harvest. No. Shlomo Melech is saying sometimes you plant. Sometimes you start down a road in life. Sometimes you start an initiative. Sometimes you follow your dreams. Sometimes you start with your movement forward. And then you realize, I'm going down the wrong path. So what happens when you realize in life that you're going down the wrong path? So I would venture to say that most of us don't have the courage to change direction. Most of us kind of continue along and just, you know, hope for the best. Kind of like the house that's tilting. I'd rather just put up new shades. I'd rather even just put up a new kitchen. I don't really want to have to raise the structure and start all over again. So I continue down the path. I know in my heart it's not the right path. I know it's not going to get me where I want to go, but I'm tired. I have so much invested in it. I put so much into this direction, so much into this trend. Shlomo Melech comes along and says, yes. Ace latas. Sometimes you plant something, and planting is incredible. And sometimes when you plant, you think you're planting exactly what you need to plant. You think you're doing exactly what you need to do. You think in your mind, you've planted out that it's supposed to be exactly as it is. And then you realize, I was wrong. So what do I do in those moments when I realize I planted the wrong things? I went down the wrong path. Ace la karnatua. Shlomo Melech begs us, find the courage to dig up that which you have planted. Because sometimes we plant the wrong things and we just let it go. All right, it'll grow. It'll be fine. No, it won't. Because even if it grows, it's not going to give you what you need. And it's not going to supply you with the necessary nourishment that you truly require. So just like in life, you have to have the courage to plant, you also have to have the courage to uproot that which you have planted when you realize that it's the wrong thing. And now we understand how the Torah Kedosha ends. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delivering his hesped, his eulogy, for his beloved prophet, for his beloved teacher, for his beloved shepherd, Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is the parting message? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you know what made Moshe truly great? That he was never afraid to start over. That when he realized that something was broken, he found the courage to uproot that which he had planted, to demolish that which he had built, and to start again. That was the greatest midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when did Klal Yisrael see that midah? When did they see it? They saw it when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain. Because think about this for just a moment. Moshe Rabbeinu descends from the mountain. He's holding the tablets. You know, those tablets were an incredible career accomplishment for Moshe Rabbeinu also. He just spent 40 days with God, 40 days and 40 nights with God. He's holding the tablets that God himself had written. No man in the history of the world ever did or ever would have a dialogue with God as Moshe Rabbeinu just did over those 40 days. If I was Moshe Rabbeinu, what I would have said was, you know what, I'm not breaking these. You know what, I have a good idea. Let me put these here. I'm going to leave you right over here. Let me get down to the camp and straighten out these people, then I'll come back and get the tablets. That's what I would have done. So much effort put into those tablets. So much sacrifice into those tablets. 40 days, 40 nights, no bread, no water, communion with God, connection with God, dialogical bond with God, face-to-face with God. And those tablets, those represent, those are the physical manifestation of God's relationship with the Jewish people and of God's relationship with me, with Moshe Rabbeinu. I would have left them on the mountain, straightened the people out, and then come back up and retrieve that. Moshe says, no. Because obviously what we planted needs to be uprooted. And what we built needs to be demolished. Because in life, you have to have the courage to demolish. You know, we always speak about the courage to build, the courage to do, the courage to grow, the courage to dream. And that's absolutely true. But sometimes you have the courage to build, and I realize I've built the wrong thing. And sometimes I have the courage to dream and I realize I've dreamt the wrong things. And sometimes I have the courage to go forward and I realize I'm on the wrong path. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when delivering the eulogy from his beloved servant Moshe, says, do you know what the greatest thing of Moshe Rabbeinu was? U'lechol hayada chazoka l'asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. His single greatest accomplishment was his willingness to break the tablets, was his willingness to demolish that which he had built because he realized it was flawed, because he realized it was deficient, because he realized that it was simply not the right structure. That, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the greatest accomplishment of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the final parting message of the Torah Kedosha. And one incredibly important message for us, because it's during this time of year, the Yamim Noraim, right, the book, the Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMov, the book of judgment is open until Hoshana Rabbah, really even until Shemini Atzeres. And so we're still in the process of doing tshuva. We're still in the process of figuring out what we want to do in life and where we want to go. And I'm confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me another year and years of life and kochos and abilities and resources. So what do I want to do? What do I want to do? But in that same discussion about what I want to do, I have to take a step back and I have to ask myself, can I find within myself the courage of Moshe Rabbeinu to deconstruct some of the flawed structures, to uproot some of the things that I have planted because they're simply not good? I have to have the courage to go forward, the courage to build, the courage to plant. But I also have to find within myself if there are structures of my life that are holding me back. And those structures could take a lot of different forms. Those structures could be relationships I have which are toxic and unhealthy. They could be lifestyles that I engage in that simply stymie my spiritual growth. They could be activities that I engage in that I know are just not good for me. But they become so embedded in my persona. They become so embedded in the way that I live. They become so embedded in my life. Do I have the courage to demolish? Or how many times throughout the years have I invested my kolchos into something? I invested myself into something. And when I did it, I thought it was the right thing. But now I realize it's not really so great. It's not really what I should be putting my efforts into. Can I find the courage to uproot? Can I find the courage to demolish, to uproot, so that I can really start again with a blank slate? Because true tshuva is not just about doing better next time. True tshuva is not just the avoidance of sin. True tshuva is not just being in the same situation but this time not making a mistake. True tshuva requires me to identify the structures which are rickety, the foundations which are flawed, the plants which will never really materialize into anything, and find the courage to deconstruct, find the courage to uproot, find the courage to demolish the things which are holding you back. This was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's this very greatness, it's this very ability, this very koach that each of us possess as well. So I wish us all a mazel tov on yet another year of completing B'sha Tov U'Mitlachas Torah Kedosha. Mazel tov on completing the cycle and the unit of Yamim Noraim. Hopefully a beautiful Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, first day Sukkot Chol HaMoed, Sukkot Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Mazel tov for hopefully engaging in a beautiful and uplifting experience. But let's take this eulogy of Moshe Rabbeinu with us into the coming year. Let's identify the things that are broken and rickety, and finally find the courage to demolish, to destroy, and to uproot. And if we do so, then just like Moshe Rabbeinu led a life of incredible success, accomplishment, and self-actualization, may we be Zochem Yeretz Hashem to do the same, and have a year, and have a life of discovering our potential, activating our potential, self-actualizing that potential, a year full of incredible bracha, a year full of incredible simcha, and a year filled with incredible accomplishment. Wishing everyone a good mayid, a piskotava, a good kvittel, a good Shabbos, and the beautiful last days of Yom Tov.